the divine souls. In this series, I've been explaining to you that every soul has only two goals: Paramananda Prapti and Dukkha Nivritti. The first means the attainment of divine bliss, and the second means total freedom from suffering. Out of those two goals, in fact, one of them is enough, because if you get divine bliss, it automatically means you're free from suffering. So you could just say it is the goal of every soul to attain divine bliss. Yesterday I explained to you that in order to attain that bliss, we need to become surrendered to God, because it is only through His grace that we can attain Him. And in order to become surrendered, we need the help of a God-realized saint. Someone who has already surrendered to and attained God. I told you that this is logical. I also quoted many scriptures that explain to us that we need the help of a God-realized saint. But also from a logical sense, we never learned anything in this world without a teacher. So why would we think it would be possible to attain God without the guidance of someone who's already done it? And when there are already such saints, and there are always such saints available in the world to help guide the souls, then why would we try to do it without getting the help of a God-realized saint? When God has manifested this universe for the sole purpose of giving a chance to the souls to find Him, then you can also rest assured that as long as there are souls on this earth planet, He's going to make sure that there are at least some saints to guide them. So these saints are here for us, to help us find God. So we have to know how to find and recognize a saint. Yesterday I explained to you that the way people normally think of going about it is the wrong way, because we have our certain stereotypical view of what a saint is supposed to be. There is a certain conventional understanding that a saint is supposed to wear some orange robes or yellowish robes or white robes, some kind of robes. A saint is supposed to be renounced from the world. A saint is not supposed to have a family. A saint should be living in the jungle in a hut or in a cave in the Himalaya. A saint is not supposed to display any anger or greed or worldly desires, because the saint is beyond all of that. So we have this view in our mind, and if we only have this understanding of these outer characteristics, then when we go to look for a saint or we want to recognize who is a saint, we're likely to get fooled. Because there are four kinds of people in this world. Two are saints, two are not. Among the saints, there are those who conform to this conventional, stereotypical view of how a saint is supposed to dress and behave and live their life. There are some saints who do conform to this view, but there are many, many saints who do not, and they're still saints. So you have two kinds of saints: those who fit our stereotype and those who don't. And then you have two types of people who are not saints. You have those from inside, like all of us, who are not saints, but from outside, they know what our stereotypical view of a saint is, and they try to conform to that because they want us to believe that they're saints, even though they're not. There are many such people in the world, especially in Kaliyug. And then you have the people who, from inside, they're not God-realized, and from outside, they do not conform to anybody's stereotype of a saint, so they're not going to fool anybody. But the problem is, the individual who's not God-realized, who's trying to act like a saint, who can fool us if we only stick to our conventional view of a saint, because he can just act and dress and live a life like we think a saint is supposed to. And from the outside, he meets all of our conditions of sainthood, so we accept them and follow the wrong person. And it's also a problem for us if we have this stereotypical view that there are saints, true saints, who don't conform to this conventional view. That's a problem, because then we'll see such a saint and we'll think, oh no, that can't be a saint, and we'll be bereft of that saint's help and that saint's grace. To further understand this, today I want to point out a few examples from our scriptures and from our history of saints that illustrate this fact that the behavior of divine personalities does not always conform to what we think or how we think a divine personality is supposed to behave. There are four yugas. The four yugas are Satyug, Tretayug, Dwaparyug, and Kalyug. These keep going in a cycle. So if you go back to Satyug, right now we're in Kalyug, the last yug. Back in Satyug, there are some famous divine personalities, four in particular called Sanakadik Paramahans. Sanak, Sanandan, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar. Four brothers who are eternally in the form of five-year-old boys, but they're Gyani saints, Gyani Paramahansas. So the Veda tells the state of mind of such a Gyani Paramahans who is always absorbed in the bliss of formless God. Yatra hi dvaitam iva bhavati taditara itaram jigrati taditara itaram pashyati ityadi. Such a saint sees only Brahm everywhere, smells only Brahm everywhere. Yene dam sarvam vijanati tam kena vijaniyad vigyataramare kena vijaniyaditi. That saint knows nothing other than Brahm. With all of his five senses, he experiences the whole world as the form of God. He sees nothing else. He doesn't see you, me, him. He doesn't see a difference between any of that. To him, it's all Brahm, and he is one with Brahm. Or you can say, he is Brahm, and the whole world is the form of Brahm. This is the experience of the Gyani Paramahans. Such is the status of these four brothers, Sanakadik Paramahans. Now, they have access to go anywhere they want. One time they decided to go into Vaikunth abode, the divine abode of Mahavishnu. So the divine abode of Mahavishnu, Vaikunth, it's guarded by two gatekeepers, Jay and Vijay, two divine personalities. They're the servants of Mahavishnu. So when these four boys approached, Jay and Vijay said, hey, where do you kids think you're going? They didn't recognize the divinity of these four Sanakadik Paramahans. So Sanakadik Paramahans said, what? You're preventing us from entering the divine abode? We can go anywhere we want. How dare you? And they cursed them. They became so angry, they cursed them that you too will have to be born as demons on the earth planet for three births. So you can imagine, if we were explained like this, or it was explained to us, this mental state of these Gyani saints and their divine status, and then we witnessed this event where their mind is supposed to be in God only, they don't see or know anything other than God, so how could they feel an insult? It should be impossible for them to be insulted or to get angry. Yet, they got angry, so angry they cursed them. So if we had witnessed this, we would have said, but, I thought, wait, that doesn't make sense. In other words, our intellect would totally fail to understand what we just witnessed. But I thought they were divine. Then how did they get angry? I thought a saint wasn't supposed to get angry. We would ask all of these questions and we'd fail. Meaning, we're trying to understand a divine personality whose mind is in God and thinking that we can grasp the reasons behind his behavior. It's like a little child who can't understand all the reasons behind his parents' behavior. Sometimes the children ask questions and the parents just have to say, you know what? You can't understand this right now. You'll understand it when you grow up. So we're like that with the saints and God. There are so many examples that if, you know, reading about it or hearing about it is one thing. You know, you might sit here right now and think, oh yes, but I know Sanakadik Paramahans are saints. So they couldn't really have been angry from inside. But if you had seen them and their face, oh no, they looked so angry. And they yelled out of anger. We would have become totally confused witnessing this. Also in Satyug, there were other great saints that the whole world knows and accepts as saints. Like Dhruv. Dhruv became God-realized at the age of 5. Becoming God-realized means you become completely impregnated with divine bliss. So you can never desire for anything ever again. You're just happy all the time. After becoming God-realized, Dhruv became king, emperor of the entire earth, got married, had kids, fought wars, did all of these things that we associate with having desire. First of all, how would or why would someone get married and have kids if they didn't have desire? He must have had a desire to enjoy that. Otherwise, why would he have gotten married? Same thing with Prahlad. God realized at the age of 7, after that, got married, had kids, became king, ruled the kingdom, fought wars to expand his empire. Can you imagine? Such a greedy thing. Again, if we had been there, we would have asked. But I thought Dhruv and Prahlad, I thought they were God-realized as children. And they got married, but they don't have any desire. And then not only that, they had kids. How do you have kids without having desire? That's impossible. That's what we would have said. So then we would have said, no, you see, Dhruv and Prahlad, they don't conform to my idea of what a saint is. A saint is not supposed to be king. A saint is not supposed to fight wars and rule a kingdom or have kids. No, a saint could never do such a thing. Yet the scriptures are telling us they're the greatest saints. Ambarish is another example of a great saint who was a king, ruled a great kingdom. This is all in Satyug. Come now to Treta Yug. In Treta Yug, Bhagwan Ram descended on this earth planet with many other divine personalities from his divine Saket abode. During this time, there are many things that happen, which if you examine them from the same perspective, appear to be very confusing. For instance, look at Ram's behavior himself. After Ram had been tricked by Ravan and Marich, and Ravan had abducted Sita, Ram was searching for Sita with Lakshman, and they were roaming around the jungle looking for her. And let's see the state of Bhagwan Ram. Re vriksha parvatas tha girigah nalata vayuna vijyamana ramoham vyakulatma dasharath tanayah shok shukren dagdha bimboshthi charunetri suvipula jaghana Badhanagendra Kanchi Hasita Kenanita Mamahridayagata को भवान केन दृष्टा, अध्यात्म रामायण, वाल्मीकि रामायण. राम फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल इज डिस्ट्रॉट विदाउट सीता, एंड ही सो डिस्ट्रॉट दैट यू कैन से इट अपीयर्स दैट ही इज आउट ऑफ हिज सेंसेस. Because how is he seeking to find Sita? He's introducing himself to the rocks, the mountains, the plants, the trees. I am Ram, son of King Dashrath. Have you seen my Sita? Has she gone this way? O tree, have you seen my Sita? O rock, have you seen my Sita? Seeing this scene, what would we have thought? God is supposed to be beyond all of this, isn't he? Even the most worldly person, the most worldly husband, is there any husband who is so attached to his wife that he would be that out of his senses that instead of calling the police and organizing a proper search party, he starts asking a telephone pole or a car, have you seen my wife? Did she go this way? Again, you can say from a distance that, oh no, I know it's Ram, he must have divine reasons behind everything he's doing. But what would have been our reaction if we had seen him? We would have been beside ourselves. How is it possible? Ram is crying? Ram is falling unconscious? He doesn't even recognize himself? He says to Lakshman, Koham, excuse me, friend, who am I? He says, you're Arya, you're Ram, son of King Dashrath. Oh, Katvam, who are you? I'm Lakshman, your servant, your younger brother. Oh, I'm Ram, you're Lakshman, we're sons of King Dashrath. Okay. What are we doing here in the jungle? We're looking for Deviji. Who? Which Devi? Janaki, the daughter of King Janak. Oh, ha Janaki! And he falls unconscious again. And when he wakes up, same thing. Koham bruhi sakhe. Tell me, my friend, who am I? Who are you? What are we doing in the jungle? So you would think that God would be on, should be beyond such a state of being so distraught. God has many such strange leelas, which he does. Later on, when Ram and Lakshman were waiting out the rainy season in a cave, there was some rain and thunder, and Ram says to Lakshman, Ghana ghamanda nabha garjat ghora priyaheen darpat manmora. Oh, brother, the thunder is so loud, it's scary. I'm frightened without Sita by my side. Imagine Ram, about whom Shri Krishna says in the Gita when he's saying about warriors, he says, among all the warriors, I am Ram. In other words, the greatest warrior. That Ram is afraid without his wife by his side? Who would have thought? Brahma says about Shri Krishna, Karmanyanihasya bhavo bhavasyate Durga Shrayo Thari Bhayat Palayanam Kalat Mano Yat Pramadayuta Shraya Swat Manrate Khidyati Dhir Vidamiha Bhagavatam. Oh Krishna, you are unborn because you're the father of all. Who could be your father? You have no mother and father. Everyone comes from you. Yet you are Nanda Nandan and Vasudev, Devaki Nandan, In other words, you're the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. You're the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Who could understand such a thing? You're a little boy, yet you're the father of everybody? You are Kalatma. You are the god of death. The god of death, Yamraj, trembles in front of you. Yet, you are afraid of a Rakshas, Jarasandh, and you ran from him. You and Balaram ran from him, abandoning Mathura, and you ran all the way to the coast of Dwarika, all the way to the coast of Gujarat, and out into the ocean, onto that island of Dwarika, and established a new kingdom there, far away from that demon. And you got a new name. Rana Chor, meaning literally the cowardly one who ran away from the battlefield. That's what his devotees in Dwarika call him. Hamare Raja Rana Chor. So Brahma is saying, Krishna, such actions are completely beyond even someone who has a divine intellect. You have no desire, but you're performing all the actions. You're self-contented, but you're seen doing ras with the gopis. No one can understand the reason behind such actions. And if they try, their buddhi becomes totally, you can say, worn out. They can keep trying to understand, but eventually their intellect gives up because they can't understand. So we know the divine actions of God are completely beyond our material intellect, let alone our material intellect. Even Brahma gets confused by Krishna's actions. I told you the story earlier about Brahma trying to test Shri Krishna because he saw him in the form of a little boy playing with his friends, eating lunch together, sharing their food, and he just thought, this village boy is God? How is it possible he is acting like a gawar, uneducated, like uncivilized, playing around like that? I thought God was supposed to have some dignity. So he tried to test Krishna, and then he saw the power of Shri Krishna. Even as a little boy, he's all-knowing and all-powerful. Krishna taught him his lesson. Then Brahma surrendered to Shri Krishna, and when he surrendered, then with Shri Krishna's grace, he understood Shri Krishna's divine power. So even those with a divine intellect can get confused about Shri Krishna, Shri Ram's divine leelas. What to say of us, material souls with material mind? So we know, we've been told, we've been taught, do not apply your intellect in God's divine leelas. You'll fail to understand and you'll do namaparad. In fact, analyzing from a material point of view God's divine actions is a spiritual transgression. There are social sins and there are spiritual sins. Social sin, stealing, lying, committing murder, these are all social sins. Spiritual sins, any kind of negative talk or even negative thinking or even reading something negative or listening to something negative about God, His name, His lilas, His abode, His virtues, or His divine associates, His saints. Doing any of those things counts as a spiritual sin and blackens our heart, makes our heart unreceptive to divine grace. So we're warned and we're taught that don't apply your intellect or try to analyze the actions of God because you'll fail and you'll end up doing some kind of namaparad, spiritual transgression, for which there is no easy prayaschit. In fact, in the Vedas, there is no prayaschit described. Prayaschit means how can you atone for such a spiritual sin? All the social sins can be atoned for by doing some kind of good action. It cancels the effect of the bad action. You usually have to do more good actions to account for one bad action, but it's possible. There are no such actions described in the Vedas that would allow someone to atone for such spiritual transgressions against God. There is a way. Only by surrendering to a divine saint with that saint's grace, the effect of those spiritual transgressions can be removed. So we know this. Yet look at, during Ram's time, what's happening. Sati, who later became known as Parvati, Sati and God Shiva saw this whole scene of Ram and Lakshman wandering in the forest. Seeing this scene, God Shiva felt such a thrill. Oh, this is Bhagwan Ram. He went and he did pranam. Seeing this, Parvati became confused. Kabahu yog viyog na jake dekha pragat virah dukh taake. God is supposed to be beyond yog and viyog and beyond the effect of missing someone because he's omnipresent. How can he ever be separated from anyone? Yet I see him here crying for his Shrimati, for his companion Sita. So how can he be God? Yet Shankar Jagat Vandya Jagadisa Suranar Muni Sabnavat Sisa Tinanrip Sutahi Kinha Parnama Kahi Satchidananda Paradhama. Now Parvati's thinking, so on one hand, I'm seeing this behavior exhibited by Ram, which could be attributable to a material person, yet Ram is doing it. And Bhagwan Shankar, my Bhagwan Shankar is saying, he's doing pranam to him, and Bhagwan Shankar is God, and he is worshipped by all the celestial gods and all the saints and munis and yogis. They all bow down to him. And that same Shankarji is bowing down to this son of King Dashrath, who looks like an ordinary man, and he's crying for his wife. He's doing pranam to him. And he says, oh, he is Satchidananda Paradhama. He is the abode of divine Satchit Anand, the abode of divine knowledge and bliss. How can it be so? Brahma jo vyapak viraj aj akal aniha abheda jo ki deha dhari hoy nar jahi na janat ved. She says, when I know Vedas say that God is omnipresent, but I'm seeing this Ram at one place only. He is viraj, means he's without attachment or desire, yet he's obviously attached to his wife. Akala aniha abheda. He's supposed to be beyond attachment, beyond seeing anyone as different from himself. And how is he only just in the body of a prince, the son of King Dashrath? I'm not understanding all of this. Yet at the same time, see, she's oscillating back and forth. Shambhu gira puni mrisha na hoi Shiva sarvagya jana sabakoi. Everybody knows God Shiva can never be wrong. He's all-knowing and he's saying Ram is God. But Ram's behavior is not fitting my idea of what God is supposed to be. So in the end, she decided, let me test him. She went down. She took the form of Sita. Not like dressing up with makeup or that kind of thing like one of us would do if we're putting on a play and someone dresses up as Sitaji. No, Sati is a divine power. So she actually took the form of Sita and sat on the edge of the trail so that Ram and Lakshman would come right along next to her. This was her test. That let's see how Ram reacts. So as they came along and approached, Ram stopped. He stopped crying. He stopped that whole act. And he says, "Oh Mataji, why are you sitting there alone? Where is Shankarji?" Huh? She just felt like, wow, how did he recognize me right away? Just a second ago he was crying. Now he knew exactly who I was. She just did pranam and went back to God Shiva. God Shiva asked her that, so how did the test go? "Oh no, no, I didn't test him. I just did my pranam." So God Shiva said, "But you know something? You took the form of my mother. Sita is like my mother. So how can you be my wife now?" So then Sati had to leave. Using her divine power, she immolated her body and was later, she took the form, another form, as son, as daughter of the mountain king Himalay. He's a god of king of Mount Himalay, the Himalay mountains. She became his daughter, so she became known as Parvati. And she did devotion to God Shiva, and again they were rejoined, became husband and wife. It's also a divine leela. But you see here in this leela, Sati did not recognize God himself, and she herself is a divine power. And she's making all the same mistakes that even a devotee like you would know not to make. No, no, you shouldn't apply your intellect in analyzing Bhagwan Ram's behavior. Yet she's making all of those mistakes and getting confused about, is Ram God? Is Ram not God? Even Lakshman, people know Lakshman as another form of Ram, but when Sati was sitting there on the edge of the trail, Lakshman thought it was Sita. He became confused. How is that possible? Look at Lakshman again. When Ram and Lakshman were camped out, just not far from Ayodhya, they were on their way, leaving everything behind, and Bharat came. What was Lakshman's reaction? "Oh, he's coming to try to kill the both of us so that he can rule Ayodhya on his own forever. I will not allow that to happen. I will kill Bharat today, even if God Shiva were to come to his defense." And Ram said, "No, no, 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 just wait. He is our Bharat. How could he have such an intention?" So again, if we were there witnessing this, and someone told you Lakshman is actually another form of Ram, and you saw him talking to his beloved brother Bharat like this, who could ever fault Bharat? Who could ever think that Bharat would have any kind of wrong intention? And yet Lakshman is thinking that about his own brother? If you had seen that, what would your reaction have been? So I'm telling you all of this so that you understand that divine personalities do not conform to our idea of how God is supposed to behave or how a saint is supposed to behave. They shatter those stereotypes. Even Bharat. What was Bharat's reaction when he found out that Kaikeyi was the cause of Ram being exiled to the forest for 14 years? He says to his own mother, "Hanya mahimam papam kaikeyim dushtacharinim yadi me dharmiko ramo nasuyen matri ghatakam." Mother, he has some choice names for her. "You're a murderess. You're a woman of low character. You're a demoness. And if I didn't know that Ram would disown me for it, I would kill you for what you did." He actually said those words to his own mother. Whereas Vedas say, "Matri Devo Bhava." Your mother should be treated like God. This is Bharat? How could he speak to his own mother like that? What would your reaction have been if you had seen that behavior of Bharat? See, we think a saint is supposed to behave in a certain way. No anger, no greed, no lust. How can you get married and have kids if you don't have lust? That's why material people do it, right? Yet Prahlad, Dhruv, they're doing it as well. And they're beyond all of that. And here is Bharat treating his mother like this. We would have run out of there shaking our head. Oh, it's too much for me. I can't imagine how could a divine personality act like this. Our faith might have been ruined in God and the saints. If this is how a saint behaves, I don't want to become a saint. Even, let's look at the fourth brother, Shatrughna. We can't leave him out either. When he heard that Mantara was responsible for making Kaikeyi be the cause of sending Ram to the forest, what did he do? He kicked her and dragged her by her hair. Again, another divine personality. Doing that to an old lady? Young, strong Shatrughna? Is this behavior which is condoned by the Vedas? I don't think so. And this is all happening in Ram's dissension, in the dissension of Maryada Purushottam Brahm. There's one more important personality of that time, of course. The great devotee Hanumanji. Let's not leave him out either. You see, when Hanumanji first saw Ram and Lakshman roaming through the forest, and he was out, you know, basically as a guardian for Sugriv, whom he was helping. So he saw Ram and Lakshman, and Hanumanji is an eternal devotee of Ram and Lakshman. And when he first saw them, what was his reaction? Suspicion. Who are they? Are they spies? Have they come to try to find out where Sugriv is? Because Sugriv was hiding from his older brother, Vali. So he approached them with suspicion. But seeing their beauty, his heart was attracted. And he asked them, are you two some kind of devata or something? Or to me you look like the avatar of Narayan. You're so beautiful. Who are you? So they introduced themselves and they asked, Ram and Lakshman also asked, and who are you? Aapka pariche? Imagine, the devotee is not recognizing his beloved God, and God is not recognizing his devotee. But Hanumanji recognizes Ram first and says, oh, I know who you are. So see, how is such a thing possible? Later, when they organized the search party, and then Hanumanji was sent to Lanka to look for Sita, his instruction from Ram was just locate Sita and give her the ring and report back. Did he only do that? No, even after meeting Sita, and Sita also said to him, I don't want you killing any of these Rakshasis. They've been good to me. These female demonesses who watched over Sita, said, don't harm any of them. So did that mean that he could kill all the Rakshasas? After leaving Sita, what did he do? He burned the whole city and killed many of Ravan's family and then came back to Ram. So was that Ram's instruction to him? No. Was that Sita's instruction to him? No. Okay, let's leave Treta Yuga. Come to Dwapar Yuga, one closer to Kali Yuga. In Dwapar Yuga, of course, we had Sri Krishna's dissension and some important personalities of that time, the five Pandavas. Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, the five brothers. These five brothers are all accepted to be divine personalities, great saints. Yet, look at some of their behavior. All five brothers married one Draupadi, Where is it said anywhere in the Vedas that's acceptable? That's total, complete adharma, durachar, papachar. Yet you see all five brothers married to one Draupadi. The five Pandavas fought a war and killed with their own hands, with their own weapons, thousands of other soldiers. Whereas it's said that a saint is Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha Gita Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma Chandogya Upanishad. A saint only sees God everywhere. Siya Rama Maya Sab Jag Jani Karau Pranam Jori Jugapani. So they're seeing God everywhere. They're seeing God in every person they see, even those soldiers who are on the other side. And while seeing that, they're killing them. So again, it's a story we've heard told many times, but had we been there on the battlefield 5,000 years ago, would we have believed that Arjun was a God-realized saint? We would have been witnessing the horrors of a war. You see it on TV nowadays, film footage of what happens during a war. Had you been witnessing all those soldiers dying on the battlefield at the hands of the Pandavas, what would you have thought? Could a saint cause such suffering? Would a saint kill another person like that? Don't you have to be angry or hate that person in order to kill them? But a saint isn't supposed to want any other person to suffer. Our mind would have been going spinning in circles like this. In the end, oh, I can't take this. We would have run away. Or we would have made the decision, no, the five Pandavas could not have been saints. It's impossible. I mentioned the gopis yesterday. They were also during that same time in Dwapar Yuga. And they are the highest class of saint. Tad bhuri bhagyamiha janmakim apyatavyam yad gokulepikatamanghrirajobhishekam yad jivitam tunikhilam bhagavan mukundas tvadyapiyat padarajah shruti mrigyameva bhagavatam. Brahma says, please let me be born as a creeper, a small plant or a bush in Gokul, in Braj, so that I can be bathed in the foot dust, so that I can do abhishek of myself with the foot dust of the gopis. Brahma is saying. He says even the Vedas, the Richas of the Vedas, the personal form of the Vedas, they desire the foot dust of those gopis, but the gopis are so high that the Vedas cannot reach them. Yet, had we seen the gopis with our own eyes, if we could get in a time machine, go back 5,000 years, visit Braj, what was Braj like? Small villages with farming and grazing the cows. None of the kids went to school. They went out and grazed the cows when they were old enough. That's what they did. Why would they go to school? They were going to spend their whole life grazing the cows. Well, you don't need to know what 2 + 2 = 4 in order to graze the cows. So the gopis were illiterate. The gopis were illiterate. Krishna was illiterate when he was in Braj. Had we seen this scene, these gopis can't even spell their own name, and Brahma is desiring their foot dust, Brahma, the one who produced the Vedas in this world, would we have been able to accept it? The gopis are getting married and having kids. The same questions over and over with all these saints that we're seeing or hearing about. And if we come to Kaliyug, we have a great example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji, who was accepted as the avatar of Radha Krishna in one form. So Radha Krishna came in one form, in the form of a divine saint called Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji, and he taught souls how to do devotion to Radha Krishna. Now one time, one of his foremost disciples, Swami Haridas, he went to someone's house to ask for some rice to give to Mahaprabhuji. Whose house did he go to? The house of an 80-year-old woman. 80-year-old Mataji. He went to that house to beg and bring that to Mahaprabhuji. When he brought it, Mahaprabhuji said to him, "Where did you get this?" He said, "I got it from the house of that elderly lady." He said, "But you're a sannyasi, and I told you as a male sannyasi not to beg from the house of any woman. You're supposed to be totally renounced." "But she was 80 years old." "No, you went to the house of an 80-year-old today. You might go to the house of a 25-year-old tomorrow. Get out of my satsang. You're not welcome here anymore." He kicked, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji, the form of Radha Krishna, the form of grace and kindness, kicked Swami Haridas out of his satsang for the rest of his life. Never allowed him back into satsang for that. Can you imagine? If you were one of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji at that time, and we're like ordinary souls who think, "Oh, we're so lucky to have such a Guruji, the form of Radha Krishna, he's so gracious and kind, he taught us devotion, he taught us the philosophy," and then we saw him do that, what would our reaction have been? Again, it doesn't fit our idea of how a saint is supposed to behave, but he has his reasons. There are divine reasons behind all of this. So to whatever extent we can understand the divine reasons behind the examples I've given you today, I will explain all of that to you tomorrow. And I'll also give you some opposite examples. I'll give you some examples of demons behaving in such a way that shows they know that Ram is God or Krishna is God, to even add more confusion to our confused state of mind hearing all of these stories. I'll tell you some stories of these demons tomorrow, but after that we'll sort all of this out and we'll understand all of this behavior. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.